top of the hour on 89.3 WHFR Dearborn, making waves from Henry Ford College. Listener-supported non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. You're listening to WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists.
Welcome to this live in the field edition of the WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw with you. It is 1:01 in the p.m. and what a spectacular start to this festival that we have. Just a stunning day. We are very excited to be out and celebrating at this, the 44th Dearborn Homecoming Festival. 44. And I think it's very possible that WHFR in some iteration has been here for 40 of those 44 events. We believe that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but don't correct me, because
1988.
I think I'm right. Yep. Well, there it is. There it is. 87, 88. Yeah. You just heard a voice, and the voice that you heard is the voice of my co-host for the day, our guest co-host, Mr. Jay Koronick. You remember Jay, former host of this very program, the WHFR Journal, for so many years, former station advisor here at WHFR Radio, and really the founder of WHFR. Let's just put it that way. Let's just call it what it is. We are so excited, Jay, to have you here at the festival, and we welcome you to our brand new broadcast booth today. How you doing, Jay?
Fantastic. Congratulations to all the WHFR staff, and you especially, Susan, for 40 years of broadcasting. And most of, you know, as I said, we got here at Dearborn Homecoming in 1988. That first time we were here, we had a portable, battery-powered cell phone, but it was as big as a suitcase. And we didn't have any permission from the city of Dearborn, so we sat on a park bench.
Oh, gosh.
And it started to rain, and so we broadcast for 3 hours holding umbrellas over ourselves. So that was the first official broadcast from Homecoming. And, you know, after showing our dedication there, the city had to give us a tent spot.
That's,
I mean,
right,
after all.
Finally.
You know, yes, what we went through.
So you would know, and I stand corrected, you are the historian of WHFR, so we're going to call this our 37th homecoming, officially, on site. So I'm going to write that down.
Right.
Our 37th, because it's our 40, but I'm doing the math here, yeah. But yeah. 44 for Dearborn Homecoming this year, so super exciting.
Before we begin with our special guest, though,
yes,
we probably should tell people listening to WHFR, and especially online, that this happens in West Dearborn, okay, every year in the first weekend of August. And here we are. And where is it located? Well, just north of Michigan Avenue. It's just a little bit west of the Southfield Expressway, folks. And the parking lot is filling up at the festival here pretty fast. So you may have to park somewhere else in the local area in Dearborn, or the lots at Dearborn High. There's shuttle buses that are already started coming over on a regular basis from there, and that's free. Mm-hmm. So people can get here that way. And two big things to remember if you haven't been to homecoming before: fantastic entertainment every evening starting about 6 o'clock or so, and then on Saturday and Sunday nights some of the biggest fireworks displays at that same location, the so-called sunset stage, which I don't understand. There's a sunset stage now. It used to be called the main stage, and a sunrise stage, except the sunrise stage is north and the sunset one is south. So they
only you would have thought
in,
about
in the olden days, you know, they built the pyramids in that, lined up north, south, east, west. But we do things special here in Dearborn. And
that's right.
Equal time for sunrise and sunset at both stages.
And once you've had a couple of elephant ears, it really doesn't matter now, does it? That's
right.
That's what I'm doing here, I'll tell you.
And the festival is all free, folks, except if you want to buy food. And I did find out that the tickets for the rides, the carnival rides, are here, but it's now something like $37 a day.
And worth every penny. Because there's a lot of rides.
That's just per person. But, you know, if there's a lot of rides, kids can go for 5 or 10 hours, right?
Oh, sure.
Without too many times in the Tilt-A-Whirl over there. But
So it'll
be fun for everyone. All kinds of activities. WHFR Radio keep giving you a list of what's going on from hour to hour. I've got the Friday schedule here.
Yep.
And
excellent.
But right now we've got special guests. We don't want to hold her back.
We do. We're so excited to have you working up to the moment as usual. We have Council President Pro Tem Leslie Herrick joining us here from Dearborn City Council. And Leslie, you just have so many different accolades. I've got the list, but what am I doing with the list? I'm just so happy that you're here, and this will take the entire show if I just read all of this, all these wonderful things about you. What I know most about Leslie Herrick is her volunteerism and her leadership in making sure that people are getting what they need in the city and also enjoying the community. And that is really what homecoming is all about. And you've been on this homecoming committee for a very long time, haven't you?
Hi, Susan. Thank you so much for having me today. It's an honor to be back and talking with the radio station of my alma mater,
Yay!
Henry Ford College. It's always one of my favorite things to do is catch up with you here at homecoming or around town, because you are around town as well. I've been working on the homecoming festival. I was integrally involved in like the minute details of putting it on for about 6-7 years. And then that was like from around 2010 until 2017, 2018. And then I was honored to be elected to city council. So I began in 2018 in my role on city council. But the administration and Mayor Hamoud and the recreation team and the community relations team, who are now doing a phenomenal job putting together homecoming, they know they're going to hear from me like throughout the festival and ahead of time. A lot of people don't know what the job of city council is. Mm. The two main functions of our city council are the laws or the ordinances of the city of Dearborn. You know, we update them, we bring in new ordinances, but approving the budget and keeping an eye on where the hardworking Dearborn taxpayers' dollars go. And so, as you know, we look at the homecoming budget each year, and I compare it to what we were doing 10 years ago. The budget is a lot larger, but fortunately, so are the sponsorships. Mm. So, like JT Crova has been the main sponsor for a couple years now, and between JT Crova and the other sponsors, I'm looking, Ford Motor Company has really stepped up. Corwell Health, prior to Beaumont, Oakwood before that, has always been a big supporter of the Dearborn Homecoming Festival. So between, you know, those larger donors and then some of the other sponsors that we have listed on our sponsorship list in the printed materials and online, can't thank them enough, because those sponsors are who help us bring to you the entertainment that Jay was talking about just a minute ago. Just amazing, amazing acts that we have coming up, especially our main acts like Third Eye Blind is coming up. Warren Treaty, which has a lot of local following.
Warren Treaty, fantastic.
Yeah, and you know what? We need to double check because I heard a rumor that their schedule was moved and that they're coming on Sunday instead of Saturday.
Oh.
So, but it was a rumor. So we need to double check.
Get back to us as quickly as you can.
I was looking at the city website.
A lot of people may just favor one or the other and make plans to come out.
Exactly,
the wrong day.
Which is why we were talking about it. So I'm just kind of giving you and your listeners kind of a heads up that there may have been a little switch in the schedule. I'm really looking forward to seeing Warren Treaty because I had not seen them before, and I've heard so many good things, and I've looked online. But
I've seen videos, and they're so fantastic. I've listened to all of their albums, too, just right from the first. Just fantastic duo, husband and wife, too, and their own original music. So great. We call it R&B or rock or whatever you want to call it. It's just full energy, and they're just a great experience, I know. I'm sorry I'm not familiar with the other act, but they're more recent.
Third Eye Blind.
But I've heard great things about them, too.
I want something else to get me through this semi-chopped kind of life. Baby.
Oh,
baby.
You're awesome. That's great.
You have
you're
to
right
know
on it.
It.
I
it's really
it.
Not
of
good
course
at all.
I
know
no. That one. No, you did really well at that.
Anyway, that's my favorite.
I couldn't
that's
have done
my
that.
Favorite song.
Well, there you go.
By Third Eye Blind.
Yeah, and then tonight we've got the lineup. Now, as you guys know well, there were fireworks on Saturday and Sunday. Friday night, no fireworks, but we've got, as you mentioned, the carnival. And you know what? I want to give a shout out the volunteers who help here at Homecoming. Again, we've got a phenomenal staff that works for the city, but we've got our police explorers who are here working with the police department. But those young people are, exploring careers in law enforcement potentially, and they're hands-on. They're getting a great experience, and they're right here working with the community at making homecoming happen, as well as other events here across the city. So I want to shout out to the explorers first and foremost, our community emergency response team, the CERT team, who are always on hand. And then, I'm looking at the schedule. We've got Bike Dearborn. You can have free, secure bike parking here at homecoming through Bike Dearborn, and the volunteers through Bike Dearborn. I'm trying to think some of the other volunteers. Okay, another favorite, and Susan was talking about some of the things that I'm really involved with in the city. I'm known as a big advocate for the arts. So radio, music, arts, culture, and at the top of the hill, we're going to have Paint Out in the Park again. Mm-hmm. So thank you to the local artists who have been participating in that every year. And you can come and see them at work, and you can vote for, the people's choice. You can help choose who's going to win prizes to our local artists who are participating in that. And that's a relatively recent addition to the homecoming lineup.
Yeah.
So every year we see some new and different things happening. But as you were saying, there's always the music and the fireworks are the big draw that people look forward to attending. Even, and then they come and they see what else that we have going on here. Another thing that I'm real involved with, and I'm just rambling on, and Susan's
lots
like, no, you're
share.
Supposed to pause so I can ask you questions.
No, you go, girl.
I was just looking at the list here. Bocce ball.
Oh,
this is something that goes back to the early roots of homecoming here at Ford Field, the bocce ball tournaments. And then we saw a little bit of lag as the courts weren't being kept up for a couple years. And I think it was 2 years ago the city made the investment and redid the courts. They look awesome. You can see even the mayor I know goes out there and competes at the bocce ball courts over there by our north shelter, the big shelter on the north side of the bridge. And if you're local, you know what that is. The bridge connects the two halves of our park. The Rouge River divides, and south of the bridge is where our carnival is. So that's kind of like if you don't even have a map, you kind of know the layout of that.
That's right. That's where we are, too, by the way.
Yeah. South of the bridge.
Where is the pie eating contest?
Days. Oh, my goodness. And I miss that. That was so much fun. And the history of that, Mayor Mike Guido, in those early years of homecoming, they would always use blueberry pie. I don't know if you knew this. They would always use blueberry pie.
I was never a participant, but I...
Or if you went and saw,
blueberries just
They kind of probably stay.
Make
a huge mess.
Heck with those cream pies. Blueberries really get you blue.
I mean. And you know why they use blueberry? Because I asked about this before I ever was involved as a planner.
Okay.
They use blueberry because that was Mayor Guido's favorite.
Oh, well.
So he I think they got them from Bart's Bakery, local bakery.
So he got the leftovers or the extra pie at the beginning?
I don't know.
He's the mayor, probably, you know.
A little clout. He might have snagged a pie.
I think in some of those eating contests, like I heard about the National Hot Dog Eating Contest in New York or whatever that they do every year, but people can get sick, too. It's not actually healthy to eat like that. I'm sure we had very sanitary conditions, but still, it's not good for people to overeat like that.
Yeah, and I suspect when Mayor Humud came in, one of the first things, and he hasn't talked about it as much, but one of the first things that he talked about was healthier food options at homecoming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we've got the elephant ears right here, again, south of the bridge in the carnival area.
Yep.
But when they choose the food trucks that are going to be participating now, we kind of moved to, you know, the in and out of the food trucks. That's one of the considerations is, you know, do we have some healthier options here if you're not in
the elephant ears aren't very healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, think of the elephant. You know, I mean, after all.
Okay, no elephants were lost for the cause.
Okay.
No, but you're right, Leslie. And it was so fun coming in on sort of vendor prep day on Thursday to see all the various food trucks that were going are here actually, and many of them rolling in this afternoon and evening for the weekend. There really is something for everybody, and so you've got, of course, the carny stuff, which. That's where I like to hang out. But the Italian tent, the Polish tent, you know, those staples, the Middle Eastern tent. But then you have food trucks of every, I mean, there's vegetarian, there's halal, there's Italian ices and traditional stuff just made healthier. So to your point, you really can come and enjoy a nice healthy meal. And it's not going to set you back too far. And it's all, you know, good for the community.
That's right. And as we're talking about the food and the partnerships, we got to mention the firefighter burn drive.
Oh, yes.
The corn, which is another staple here at homecoming.
Yes.
Corn on the cob.
You can get their wonderful corn on the cob. They've got buttering. They've got their seasonings if you want this secret seasoning. And the donations that are paid to the firefighters for the corn, because it is. It's all donation-based.
I know. That's great.
And that goes to back to the community. The money goes back to the community in helping families that have suffered a loss either from fire or other challenges in their family. The firefighter burn drive is always a go-to when it comes to helping out those in need in the community here.
I want to mention that the festival officially opens around 12 noon all 3 days, so it's open now. And, of course, most of these vendors, the food in that, it goes on till at least 6 or 8 o'clock perhaps. Maybe some are open later because of the fireworks are happening after about 9:30 or so.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so you can have a chance for a great lunch or a mid-afternoon snack or a great a dinner meal here with the whole family.
Sure.
Really.
Sure.
And there's a lot of tent areas and pavilion areas in case you're getting too much sun. There's even, I noticed, a cooling tent on the map here. Oh, boy.
Cooling station.
Yeah, cooling station.
We used that a lot last year, I recall, right? But
some years are worse than others.
I think the temperatures won't be too high this
Should
year.
Should be a beautiful weekend.
Maybe in the low 80s, but
it's just
fantastic
perfect.
Out here. Come down to Dearborn Homecoming, folks. It's not just for people in Dearborn. Everybody can have a great time with the whole family, and except for the carnival ride wristbands. I wish they would go back to individual tickets, you know.
They might offer individual ones too, I think.
You know, I haven't wandered around because they did have them for a number of years, but they might have switched over just because it's labor-intensive to deal with those tickets.
Right.
That's true.
It's just easier
when they're
checking everybody into the ride.
Just see the band.
Just see the band. Let them go in. They don't have to take a ticket.
Figure
out where that goes.
Well, I'll tell you, everybody so far seems incredibly happy and excited to be here. We had the pleasure of setting up early as we like to get in and get set on Friday before the All Stars event, which is so wonderful.
Yeah,
where special needs families come in and get to enjoy sort of the low intensity version of the carnival. And we just meet some people every year. The same people come on up and say hi, and it's just so nice to see. What a wonderful thing that Dearborn does for those that have special needs in our community.
Yeah, and we have to thank the Carnival Company for working with us on providing that opportunity. I think we've been doing that, gosh, about 6-7 years at
Gotta
least
be.
Now
yeah.
that we added that. And I wanted to talk about the wristbands for just a second. It's too late for this year, but if in the future, if you want to save a few dollars on those wristbands, they do run specials, and you have to watch the city website or the homecoming website, search, or just call the city and ask for the community relations department and ask because they run a special if you buy them a few weeks ahead of time. And I did not look at the prices this year, but it was pretty worth
it. Was
it
only $25?
Was it for
so
the
almost
ahead of time?
Half price,
yeah. So that's a really good deal if you plan ahead.
Yeah.
Well, we are enjoying the WHFR Journal Show live here at Dearborn Homecoming Festival on this August the 1st. It is the first day of the event. We've already talked to the mayor a couple of times. I've got a little interview with him we're going to run a little later in the day where he was talking about how he's enjoyed so far this day with his family, which is always a nice aspect of getting out of the office on a Friday, but also just some of the things that are coming up. And we know that there is genuinely something for everybody, not just for those living in Dearborn, certainly surrounding communities, but we love this sense of community here in Dearborn. Speaking of which, Leslie Herrick, who is joining us, councilperson in the city of Dearborn, Council in the Community, I think that's the name of the, I saw it like a year ago, and I rewatched yesterday. You did an interview on Dearborn Cable, right, CDTV, and I just love that series. You got another one coming up sometime, maybe? Or?
I actually have to figure out what my next topic is going to be, but that show, as I know you're aware, but just so anybody that's listening, that's a cable show that's produced by CDTV, the City of Dearborn Television crew, and each council member gets a segment, of 4 to 7 minutes. Seven's on the long side, and we look at things that are happening in Dearborn, and I'm always looking for something that I think is going to be timely and relevant and impactful to talk about, maybe that people haven't heard about before, or to remind them of something that, that we have here in Dearborn that maybe they weren't aware of. And so I don't know which segment that you saw, but...
The economic development one with what's his name? Oh, goodness.
Jordan Torti?
Yes,
okay.
Jordan Torti, yep.
Yep,
Jordan.
Yep. He's our economic development director, and he's been with the city for a few years now and very, very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Love chatting with him. And one of the topics that maybe I'll do in an upcoming segment, I wanted to mention a couple of the nonprofit community organizations I'm involved with.
Mm, please.
One of them is the Intercultural Community Center in Dearborn, and... the ICCD is a nonprofit organization, and the website has a longer description of what it is. But the purpose of the Intercultural Community Center in Dearborn is bringing together our community through educational opportunities, discussion, social opportunities. And so we do a few of those in person each year, an in-person activity. And then the ICCD meets with community partners, and if somebody from WHFR wants to sit in on one of our Zoom meetings, we partner with LAHC, with Access, with the Dearborn Public Schools, and the City of Dearborn, the library, and other organizations, AAUW, that's Associated University Women.
Women, right?
Yeah, and League of Women Voters. All these different entities just get together and give each other an update of what we're doing in the community to benefit residents in Dearborn. Well, on this last Monday night, we had an in-person program on housing in Dearborn, and it was a phenomenal panel of speakers. And so I posted about that on my page and on my Facebook page and on ICCD. But another great resource here in Dearborn is our housing manager, Justin, was one of our speakers. And it was the first time I really had heard him speak. So we were just talking about Jordan Torti and economic development. And Justin, the staff at the City of Dearborn is just a wealth of information and is such great hard workers for our city. So I just wanted to kind of throw a plug in for ICCD as well as for our Dearborn Housing Department. Because that's one of those departments that if you don't have a need at the moment, you don't even think about that they're there working for us all the time. In the spring, again, the housing department, people may or may be aware that we've been dedicating, renaming our city-operated buildings. So, again, we have O'Reilly Manor in honor of John B. O'Reilly Jr., our mayor who passed away earlier this year. May he rest in peace. So our West Tower here in Dearborn on Beach Street has been named in his honor. And then just a couple weeks ago, we named the East City Housing Tower. And again, this is senior housing. Mm-hmm. It was named after Suzanne Serini and her contributions to Dearborn. And actually, she had a louder voice because she actually served on with the President of the United States a number of years ago, appointed her to a committee. So she had a louder voice speaking on behalf of the residents of Dearborn here. So anyway, that was working with our housing department, renaming those buildings. And I got to do a shout out to Jack Tate, who's been our curator at the Historical Museum for a number of years now. They renamed, if you're familiar with, on Brady's, at Brady and Michigan Avenues, where the Historical Museum has its offices there right next to the McFadden Ross House. But the office space was dedicated to honor Jack Tate for his decades of service. And one more honor that we did was at the Henry Ford Centennial Library. The auditorium there was named in recognition of Emma Jean Woodyard and her decades of commitment to bringing art to Dearborn and giving people art experiences, hand-on art experiences. And through her work with the Dearborn Community Fund and prior to that with other cultural organizations here in
Arts
Dearborn.
Arts Council and so on.
The Arts Council.
She's just a gem.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Warms my heart.
Yeah.
Warms my heart. If it wasn't already warm, I would be very warm. Those are the things that make this community so special. Exactly what you're talking about, Leslie. And unless somebody takes up the charge to say, we need to do this, great intentions, but it just doesn't get done, right?
Exactly.
So it sounds like there's some great forward momentum in really honoring like both legacies and, frankly, lifetimes of service to this community, and rightly so, because those are people you may not know who they are, but maybe you look it up at some point, and then you see all the amazing things that they've done and contributed to the community.
Yeah, and we're trying to, like in this case, you know, we're recognizing some people who are still here, mm-hmm, and they're active, mm-hmm, in the community, and thanking them for their service right now, and so. And they appreciate it. Their families certainly appreciate the recognition. But the folks that we meet, you know, out about in the community, and they appreciate when they see somebody they know has made an impact is being recognized. Yeah. People were just, it's very, like you said, it's heartwarming to see these folks from across the city come together and recognize those who have made an impact and be a role model for those, the next leaders.
Right. We need those, no doubt about it. Well, this is the WHFR Journal. We are live here at Dearborn's Ford Field. We are on the south side of the bridge. We are just west of Brady Street, just north of Monroe. And we are right across from the candy apples and the caramel apples and the funnel cakes and the slushies.
And the elephant ears.
And the elephant ears. Smell your way over to the WHFR broadcast booth. This is our new booth, by the way. So this is
beautiful.
It was sort of a 40th birthday present to ourselves. So we are celebrating a lot of things this year. And so excited to be doing so. What are some things that, as we get ready to wrap up, Leslie, that you want to share? It's an interesting year. It's a pivotal year in the city. There's a lot going on, but any things you want to just kind of put out there as we get ready to wrap up?
Well, I wanted to remind folks of, you know, the good work that's being done across the city. You know, one of the things that's most visible is the record investments we've been making in recreation here, and our community pools, which were put in again by a mayor 60 years ago, had not been renovated. You know, our smaller community pools are going to be reopening, it looks like, just at the end of the swim season. Mm. Been working to get that done, but at Ten Eyck and Summer Stevens and Lapeer Park. And then in Lapeer Park in Dearborn South End, we just a couple weeks ago opened a beautiful, huge, inclusive playscape that anybody can play on. But it's just very family friendly with the turf that's below it. It's soft. It's meant to be for anybody with any kind of needs. And we have a similar at Ford Woods that we've opened, and again at Crowley Park, these inclusive playscapes, which are big investments in Dearborn, that we're proud are available to our residents. And as you said, people come to Dearborn from all over. So our Peace Parks, you know, Peace Park West in the business district here, we're just getting ramped up with activities and music and things that are going to be happening in that, you know, and I say that's more like a plaza, like for older folks that remember Hart Plaza downtown and, you know, where you have cultural festivals and music and food bring together. So those Peace Parks are gatherings where you can either go to those events that are being held, and we've got three Peace Parks, the one in front of Old City Hall is now open, and they had a movie night there, and there are going to be more activities there. And then the third one, a little further south in west or south and east in Dearborn, will be opening up. But those are investments in our community and meant to be gathering places or a place for you to just go on your own, read a book, kick back, bring your lunch, bring your kids, and for a little quiet time when there aren't those events going on. So big investments in recreation, public safety. We are proud that, you know, we have more firefighters than we've ever had before, but there's also more need. You know, people don't realize that we have over 16,000 runs that our ambulances do from our five fire stations, which includes Melvindale, you know, where we partner on first response, and our police department, you know, the number of officers we have and the equipment and the training that both our public safety arms, fire and police, our residents can sleep well at night knowing that we have these folks serving here.
Question?
And then another thing I just wanted to really quickly touch on that people say, what about that? Those speeders in Dearborn, the driving. And we are exploring and following up on every opportunity that we have to through enforcement. You know, record number of tickets have been issued for speeding and reckless driving, through confiscating the vehicle and impounding the vehicles, and there's a hefty price to pay to get those vehicles back out. So the enforcement arm, educating, we're working with the Dearborn Public Schools. And so another community service organization I'm involved with, I was just inducted as the president of Rotary Club of Dearborn. So hello, shout out to all Rotarians out there. Excuse me, Kurt Krug from Henry Ford was there when I was inducted. And we have strong partnerships with local schools through Rotary as well. So the city and the schools have partnerships. And at one of our Rotary meetings earlier this year, we had students during our youth month in February who were talking about the driving and how, you know, they're afraid to drive on the streets when they see this happening. And through a conversation with them, they were talking about driver's ed classes and how the schools that train the kids to and issue their licenses need to be accountable and make sure that those students are truly prepared to be driving. And following that conversation, you know, and other conversations with the police chief and the mayor, working with the state, two of those schools have been shut down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And kudos to the kids that are speaking up and saying, right, I have a friend who should not have their license.
Yeah.
And this is, so that's community input in making those things happen. And of course, other things people are seeing are blinking stop signs and our raised crosswalks. And we're actually going to be very creative. There are a couple very small roundabouts we're installing at very dangerous intersections.
And the speed humps.
And the speed humps. We started.
I thought there were speed bumps, but
they're not as big as a bump.
That wasn't politically correct anymore.
Yeah, no, hump is less impact on your car than a.
But there's a sexual connotation.
Bump would be. Oh, a hump.
I'm sorry.
A speed
you can only
hump.
Drive over them on Wednesdays, right?
Because it's hump day.
I'm sorry. I saved up a lot of puns, Susan.
She's got like 20 years worth of puns.
Oh, no.
I had to use them somehow.
He's got to let them out. I'm so glad you brought that up, Leslie. Not what
you.
He said, but
like erase what Jay just said.
in terms of the driving situation, it really is. Oh my gosh, I'm just going to tell this story because it impacts me every day when I drive to work down Ford Road. And I remember driving to work down Ford Road one morning and hearing on another radio station where I tend to get my local immediate news a story about a couple of young Dearborn High students who were drag racing early in the morning. One of them lost control, hit a brick wall at a building, and died. And it had just happened. And I'm like, that's just right here.
Oh, I got chills.
And I'm literally driving by, I look to my left,
I'm going to get emotional now. There were a group of young boys standing around a business that it was all smashed. They had removed the vehicles and everything, but it had like literally was just being cleared up. And I saw what they had just talked about. And I thought to myself, is that what it takes to, you know, is that going to be what it's going to take for the kids to realize how awful this is? But you're talking about the training and the schools and kind of rewinding, speaking of rewinding, getting back to helping them make good choices. Not only, of course, family impact and all these other things that you're doing, but every day I drive by and I think about that young man and I think about his family and I think about we can make a difference and we have to, and it sounds like that's taking place.
Yeah.
In the olden days, and here the voice of age here, but I took driver ed in my public school.
Yeah.
And it was a whole semester. And we had classroom every day. And we went out 1 hour every week. So it's 15 hours with the instructor. And there was a couple special Saturday drives at the end on expressways or whatever. And we didn't do any of this stuff in the parking lot. I mean, we did parking and so on. But it was road control of the car. Now, these days, Michigan, the state of Michigan, has just tremendous rules and licensing requirements. But it's still up to the city and maybe public education, too, in some way that they haven't done for years, to try to get the message across about the dangers. And, I mean, if you only learn how to drive in the parking lot, then how can you ever do even a 25-mile-an-hour corner without proper braking? You know, I mean, you need that experience. And I think it should come in driver ed. And of course, there's a lot of private concerns in Dearborn that are doing driver ed instruction, but there's not very many rules about how many hours that's required anymore.
Well, it sounds like that's being tackled. And it sounds like there's a dent being made in that.
Yeah, it's definitely something that just this year has really been a closer partnership with the Dearborn schools. Another thing they had out there this spring, usually around graduation time, you'll see they bring out a crashed up car and put out on the lawn of each high school. And sadly, I think the kids are desensitized. You know, they see that. They need to hear, like you were just talking about, a personal story for it really to hit home. And one of the things they did this spring that was, in addition to the car being out in front, they brought in these driving simulator trucks, and they made the rounds to each school, each high school, and the students could go through and experience some, not actually driving on a street, but at least a scenario of having that driver experience. Yeah. And it was just one more way to try to reach them with those messages about, you know, when you have a vehicle, you know, that's a powerful machine. That, you know, it you have other people's lives in your hands when you're driving a vehicle.
Yeah, so get your cell phone out of your hand.
Yes,
and think about the other people.
Exactly.
And yourself and your family and all that. And it sounds like you, along with so many wonderful people, are taking up these causes and trying to make a difference and an impact. That is what our city government is for. That is what our city council is for, our mayor.
Yes.
But also volunteer organizations and so many people that are like-minded in their concern and their care. So we thank you for your time, Leslie, as always.
You. And
we wish you a just a lovely homecoming weekend.
Thank you.
Feel that beautiful
the
breeze.
The weather is supposed to be phenomenal all weekend. The humidity has dropped. We've got a little clouds rolling in, but I think it's supposed to be good weather all weekend.
Yep.
And it just makes it more enjoyable for everybody, because when it's hot and humid and rainy, people get shorter tempers. Especially the little ones. You know, you see the kids and you want them to have a good time. Mm-hmm. And if they're hot and miserable, everybody ends up miserable.
Last question, what are you most excited about? One thing for this weekend? It could be literal. It could be, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, I'm really, truly looking forward to seeing those main acts on the stage this weekend, which I always do. But in particular, just because of the local connection with the Warren Treaty.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing Warren Treaty. And one of my favorites, again, I when we started talking, the Artists in Action at the Top of the Hill, near and dear to my heart. The Dearborn Community Fund has a role in bringing those artists together. Sasha up there coordinates the whole thing now. And just the creativity of the artists, and then the opportunities for kids to get hands-on art experience too—that they do—that Sasha brings. I get to vote just like everybody else as one of the people's choice of who's going to be receiving recognition for the art. So you can see them at work all weekend. So nice. That's always one of my favorite things. And, of course, the carnival rides. You know, my favorite, I don't know. It's some of the, the cat and mouse. It's called Mighty Mouse.
Oh, yeah.
Is the one here. I love that ride, and we've got that this year. Because they change the rides from year to year, depending on what's available and who got it last year, mm-hmm. you know, in the state at that time. And the Ferris wheel, because I love getting up on the top and looking over our festival grounds of Ford Field Park, right here in Dearborn, at Brady and Cherry Hill, you know, seeing the treetops along the river and the carnival right below. And knowing that, you know, I've been a part of this since I was a kid, you know, when I was coming here as a kid, and now having an impact on, you know, the things that are happening here and getting to be able to share that wonderful message about, again, the music, the food, the art, the fun brings people together from Dearborn, no matter what their backgrounds are, what language they speak at home or grew up with. You know, there's something for everybody here. You said that about the food, but just
You're
activities
right.
and everything here. And it's just such a honor and so much fun to be part of all that.
Well, President Pro Tem Leslie Herrick, thank you for your time. We thank you for helping contribute to a great festival weekend, and have fun. Go have fun.
Can I throw in just one more message? Because for folks that might be listening and are Dearborn residents, there is no primary this year.
Oh.
There's no primary election
right.
coming
Touché.
Up
Good
the
point.
First
but Dearborn
Tuesday.
Heights.
But Dearborn
they got a big
Heights
mayoral
has,
campaign
they
going
do.
On.
They've got
primary.
Four candidates mm-hmm. for mayor,
That's
and
true.
They've got
and
several
Taylor,
council
Taylor
members
Michigan
running.
Too, but mm-hmm. and other cities. But very important for our yes. Dearborn Heights listeners to make sure that they have a choice
yeah.
on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, August 5th.
Right. And when people from away from our area think of, don't realize there's a distinction between Dearborn and Dearborn Heights.
Right. Well,
in
well.
Particular, this year, it's the first ever that we didn't have a primary in the city of Dearborn.
I mean, there'll be choices in November, but only two candidates
exactly.
for
exactly
most
for
of
each
offices.
Position that,
right.
that is up
right.
for election.
Yeah. Thank
so,
you for mentioning
so, yeah,
that.
That's just a weird thing to be happening here. But yeah, for people in Dearborn Heights. And I've noticed, you know, there's some Dearborn folks who have Dearborn Heights candidate signs on their lawn because there is so much, you know, friendship and,
oh, sure.
and relatives from one city to the next. And so people are supporting those who aren't even in their own cities, just wanting to let them know that.
But
yeah.
someone might, if they don't see the small print of Dearborn Heights, somebody might think that the mayoral candidate in Dearborn.
So I don't want anybody to show up in Dearborn at the polls and wonder what's happening. and
point.
On the other hand, to your point, Jay, we don't want folks to think Dearborn Heights, this is a big year in Dearborn Heights, so go out
big.
And vote if you are in
That's
Dearborn
right.
Heights.
Right. It's very
right.
important
good,
that
good,
people
yeah.
make
good
their choice.
Public
yeah.
service
yeah.
message there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Leslie, always for your time.
Oh,
Such
you're welcome.
A pleasure to see you.
Thank
and
you for having me
wonderful
here.
Homecoming
Great seeing you again. Keep up all the good work.
Oh, thank you.
Public service is tough.
And it can
Sometimes.
Be. This is
yeah.
this is one of the more fun things we get to do
Absolutely.
Is be out here at homecoming
Enjoy.
And talking
yeah.
with you. So
well, it's our pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
We're
going to
do
you.
A switcheroo, so we're going to let you take off your headset there.
Okay.
And again, we sure appreciate your time today. Go have some fun, and we'll talk a little bit later as we get closer to.
Was this hers?
To the fall season. I think that might be Leslie's water. There it
might
is. Okay. Let's remind our wonderful WHFR listeners that we are enjoying a special live version of the WHFR Journal here at the Dearborn Homecoming Festival. It kicked off today at noon. The show itself started at 1. We're going to run until 2 o'clock. We have another special guest who's going to join us in just a moment. But speaking of special guests, our special guest host, Jay Koronek, the one and only former station advisor at WHFR and really the founder of our facility. We are celebrating 40 years this year, Jay. It's quite a bit. And we're welcoming our next guest as we move forward here. We're gonna welcome. This is Dennis. Yes,
yes.
Dennis Carter II. Hello, Dennis. We're gonna have you put on those beautiful new earphones. We say a special thank you to Fatima, who is in the studio, by the way, helping us out. Hey, Fatima, thank you. You're doing a great job. Special thanks, by the way, to Terrence Tyson, to Brian Essenmacher, who is here. Generous contribution is allowing us to utilize this new gadget to sound better than ever at Dearborn Homecoming Festival. Speaking of sounding better than ever, season 64 of the Dearborn Symphony is coming up. Dennis Carter II is the principal flute player, longtime member, and I understand office manager.
Yeah,
of the Dearborn
that's new.
Symphony. Well, it's nice to meet you,
nice to
Dennis.
Meet you too.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your patience.
Oh, yeah, no
live
problem.
Live radio, you know. Hope you had a little chance to just chill out and smell all the delicious smells and things, yeah,
yes.
That we've got here at the Homecoming. Have you been to Homecoming before, or is this your first one?
I have. Years ago, like in my 20s.
Okay. It's just a couple years ago,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Well, we are super excited about this upcoming season of the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra. We also do say many thanks, of course, to, well, all the wonderful people that do what they need to do to make sure that it's a great season.
Yes.
And that certainly includes Sandy Butler, who has been involved for as long as I can remember.
I remember the name, yeah.
Yes, as well as James Clements, who is our executive director currently. And, of course, Steve Jarvie, the conductor and musical extraordinaire. So what should we be excited about this year, and what role specifically? I mentioned the flute, but
yes.
Tell us a little bit about specifically.
I've been in the symphony for 25 years now.
Oh.
This is my 25th season.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And it's a blast. We love making music together, and this season, so it's like a dance component, so I'm mm-hmm. looking forward to a lot of the pieces that we get to perform, and we're collaborating with like the Dance Downriver Dance Academy, and I think that they're offering like waltz and tango lessons beforehand, like an hour or so before
wow.
the show. So that should be very interesting, and I'm not sure if they're going to invite folks to, you know, maybe join them or not.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
You're,
but I think they could dance in
here.
The yeah.
In the
I think
aisle.
You can dance in the aisle. Yeah,
yeah, I like that.
Dennis, I just saw within the last day or two that the Detroit Opera had to cancel their September show because funds coming from federal government grants or whatever have been cut off, even though the money was already. I mean, that's a story we've heard about a lot of organizations, including NPR, PBS, and so on.
Yeah.
Is your schedule still solid?
I mean,
funding is
right
always an issue.
Yeah.
You know
right
that
now,
as an office manager.
Yeah,
but.
Right now we haven't had to cancel
good.
Anything, which we're, knock on wood, very
yeah.
lucky. We have our patrons and sponsors.
Just so people know, the schedule, you might have already published the schedule or promoted it
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, it's coming out.
Coming out soon, okay.
Very soon, very soon.
I happen to have a little something here.
But we're live on live online right now, so you can read all the descriptions, all the pieces that we're performing.
And great.
So this season is special because there aren't that many soloists. It's featuring the actual orchestra, the players, mostly this season.
You
so
don't
that's
get your
kind
chance
of
again.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, like our youth solo competition winner, Jisoo Park, he's a fabulous cellist, an upcoming cellist. Looking forward to playing the fourth movement of the Elgar with him. It was a delight to hear him perform at the audition. Just absolute beautiful playing. So
I used to call the cello a cello, but
yeah, oh yeah, I think we all did at some point when we were younger.
I grew up, but it still sounds like
and like
fun.
The viola, right?
And you always have in your schedule in the past anyway. You mix it up with some popular themes,
yeah,
maybe classical music, but popular theme
yes.
music people might recognize, and even some pop concerts, or at least one anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's always great,
well,
too.
Yeah, because we have to evolve, right?
Sure.
And we have to try to give a little bit to everyone, you know, each different person, because we're all different, and it's changing. Everything is changing.
Amen.
So.
It is changing. Let me just give you a little teaser here about what's coming up. The first performance is October 3rd. I know, it's like, oh, October, that's... No, it's right around the corner, right? It is right around the corner. And it's early October, right?
Yes.
So it's called Myth, Motion, and Majesty. Ooh, I love that. That's a celebration of just some amazing cinematic sounds mm-hmm. and a full range of power and personality, they're saying. And also the youth artist solo competition winner will be present for that as well.
Yeah, Jisoo Park.
You mentioned it. That's amazing.
Yes.
I'm really excited about the November one as well.
Oh,
this
I know.
Is the coolest
Rick
idea.
Steves.
I know.
I always watch him.
Exit me too.
That's it.
So I know. So November 7th, I got to put my glasses on for this one.
one. Yeah. But this is super cool, and it says explore the great cities and landscapes of Europe without ever leaving your seat. Well, you just got to get to the Ford Performing Arts
yes.
Center. But once you're sitting there, I mean, Prague to Seville to, you know, all of his sort of famous
PBS locations.
Yeah. Yeah. This is super cool. And so there's going to be, I understand, sort of an interactive video component to this.
Yeah. So Rick Steves approved the, you know, this program. He's very generous. And Stephen Jarvey, you know, worked things out with him and James. They, you know, had got this together. And I think we're all looking forward to doing this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's nice to play music up with a movie or a slide or something.
That's a fun
it's
thing.
It's pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would think it would be really challenging, but I you're up for it. 25 years, you can do anything. Absolutely.
Just a reminder for our drop-in listeners, we're talking about the Dearborn Symphony.
That's right.
Not the same thing as the Detroit Symphony.
Right.
They do a wonderful job. They do their job. But the Dearborn Symphony has this wonderful facility, Performing mm-hmm. Arts Center in Dearborn, which is on Michigan Avenue, just west of Greenfield mm-hmm. and east of Southfield a couple blocks.
Right.
But it's a fantastic facility, and you guys have been doing amazing variety and quality of performances. And
we try.
More than 45 years. Well, it's live concerts.
We want to keep you guys coming back and inviting your friends.
That's the excitement for the audience. A lot of people are just, you know, watching their TVs and streaming this and that. But live, in person, just like Dearborn Homecoming here, and some of the performances coming up later today and this weekend, the thrill is immeasurable. I mean, it's so great. I went to a live concert at one of my favorite venues in Ann Arbor, the Arc.
Oh, okay.
They do a lot of indie artists and mm-hmm. folk and all kinds of things. And I had just a general admission ticket. But I was first in line in,
so
I got to sit right up front. And it's a small venue, you know, but mm-hmm. that's the beauty of things. It's not a 5,000-seat auditorium or like some of the pop concerts that we all know and love, although I prefer to watch a video on those because they're like 10,000 people.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
What is Taylor Swift at something like 40 or 50,000?
Who's counting?
Time?
But who's counting? Yeah.
It would be nice to play for a 40 or 50,000 audience.
Well, yeah, as long as they got a big video screen behind
you. Yeah, you would need the
video.
They need
some close-ups of, you know, the flautist.
Yes.
That's right. So what I think is most exciting about the Dearborn Symphony is, again, that we know many, if not most of the members, those mm-hmm. that have been involved and are coming and going and playing with the symphony. Stephen Jarvey is so accessible and approachable and willing to talk about his inspiration and so on.
Yeah,
and
he's very inviting, and the audience loves him.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
and the patrons,
no doubt about it.
They all love him.
Yeah, and we're doing the series where you can sort of like meet the entertainers and meet the musicians and so on online. And so there's a lot of. Have you done one of these?
I haven't
yet?
Done one yet.
I know
I need to do one.
Dennis, that's why okay, we're going to start the ball rolling now. This is the start of your PR campaign. Pain,
okay,
right?
I appreciate that.
So, absolutely. What got you into playing the beautiful flute to begin with?
So it's elementary school. I grew up in Hamtramck, and they were kind of going around to the general classrooms and kind of recruiting, and they asked the teacher, who do you recommend? And so they put my name, ended up on the list, and they're like, so what do you want to play? And this is fourth grade. And I was like, I want to play percussion because I want to play the snare drum. Everyone wants to play the snare drum. And I never got to play the snare drum for 2 years.
They're not very portable, though.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
They're
like
not. And
go to a party with your snare drum, and that's not easy to do.
Yeah. You know? But what changed was my fifth grade general teacher, she took us to hear Detroit Symphony at Ford Auditorium, which is no longer there.
That's right.
And that's where I said, that's what I want to do. I wanted to originally play violin, but we didn't have an orchestra, and I figured violin and flute were the two hardest instruments, fifth grade, you know.
Up for a challenge.
So sixth grade is when I changed over, and I knew since then that I wanted to do that for a living, and here I am.
And here you are.
Yeah.
25-plus years later.
Yeah, 40-something years later.
Wait.
I was 12, yeah.
Yeah, that's
amazing. So 40 years later.
Yeah. So doing something because you love it, because it's your passion, it's in your heart,
is different than doing something professionally and earning a living at it.
Yeah.
Sort of speak to that. When did that flip? When did, you know, did you feel like I actually can? Not that I just want to, but I actually can make a living
so I guess,
being a musician.
Yeah. So, like I said, I grew up in Hamtramck, and we had like a, I guess it's a professional band, but they're like retired musicians, mm-hmm. school teachers, engineers, right. doctors, but they all played, you know, in, at some point in their lives or still continue to play in dance bands and whatnot. Me and my friend Carol, we were invited to play. We were in middle school. And remember, I started in sixth grade playing the flute, but I practiced. And the conductor, Steve Wollison of the time, rest his soul, he was a good trumpet player. And he recruited at the high school, but none of those guys wanted to commit. So he went to the middle school, and my friend Carol was a seventh grader, and, you know, sixth grade. And then I didn't do it the first year, but my seventh and eighth grade year, they said, just come on in, play what you can. And
wow.
And so from there, I just you know, grew a love for it. And then we played our first concert, and it was at, like, a festival like this, the Hamtramck Festival. Mm-hmm. And we got an envelope. And there was cash in there. It's like $25.
That's my favorite kind of envelope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it, like,
that's great.
12, 13 years old, you're like, whoo, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money.
You just had some fun, and then you
right.
just got paid for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was like, oh, that's when I realized, oh, I can actually
make some money.
Make money doing what I love
money,
to yeah. Yeah. Doing what I love to do. But it's definitely not for the faint of heart. You've got to work. Like, to, you know, beat the pavement, sort of say.
Yeah.
Just mentioning
yeah.
career possibilities here, is it still very competitive?
It's
I mean, to become
it's highly
a full-time.
Competitive. Is, yeah, because there are so few jobs.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, the pop music area is maybe even more competitive
yeah.
than classical, actually. But classical has
yeah,
pretty high standards.
I mean.
Some
I mean,
of those
you look at
pop groups practice in their garage, you know, and they still
yes.
sell millions of records. So,
yeah.
not I mean, they're
That's
entertaining,
true.
But it's not the same level of attention to the
yeah.
music.
yeah.
And I would even want to suggest that many classical scores are much more challenging than a pop mm-hmm. score. I mean, in terms of rhythm and instrumentation and as an orchestra, coordination of how many people in the Dearborn Symphony usually?
There's like anywhere from like 55 to 65,
yeah,
something like
that. That requires, besides just a conductor, people
yeah.
have to learn to work together
mm-hmm.
as a musical team.
Right.
Which even a commercial pop group of 3, 4, or 5, they have to coordinate.
Yeah, ensemble.
Still, yeah, it's a challenge, a special kind of challenge.
Yeah.
And it must be very exciting, again, performing live primarily, too.
It is, because you get the energy from the audience,
yeah.
and that, you know, inspires you to, you know, even do, I don't know, it just feels great, like, to see that they're, you know, of course, everyone's on your team, and, like, mm-hmm. they want to see you do well, but it's just this feeling, overwhelming feeling, like you're like, oh, yeah, we're going to give our 110%, you know.
Right.
That's amazing.
Right.
So
yeah.
principal flute. And is it flautist or flute player or what do you call it?
We're English speaking, so it's flutist.
Thank you.
I use flutist.
Okay. Well, if
so it's
if
either
Dennis
or.
Dennis is going to use flutist, then we're going to use flutist.
It's either
25
or.
And he's earned
well,
it.
I have permission
it's
to
either
flout.
Or.
There
it's
you
either
go.
Or.
Yes,
I, yeah.
There you go. So as the principal,
okay.
is that kind of like first chair kind of a thing?
That is exactly
okay,
what
that's
that
the
is.
Same thing. Okay.
So
good.
you're like the leader of that section,
so
like
you're the
semester.
Best one. Let's
I hope they're padded at least.
We're all good, but you know.
I like that answer.
We're all good.
You passed the test. So, do you have a favorite style of music to play? Do you have a favorite piece that it would be your go-to, like just for fun? Or?
Favorite piece. I guess it would be the first piece I ever heard, and that's the Mozart Symphony Number 40.
Ooh.
That's still my favorite.
40.
You know, that's still my favorite. But I like all types of music, though. I've done like recording sessions and I play in a ragtime band, the R4
nice.
Review. And I do opera, subbing in opera, and so I love my eclectic taste, you know. venues that I get to play.
That probably really keeps it fun for you.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And you meet so many different people, you know, and connections.
Very good. So that's the musician side of all of this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this office manager thing. who roped you into that? That's what I want to know.
Well,
no, thank you for doing that.
I'm learning
quite
a lot.
Job.
It's definitely different, and I figure, you know, I'm 52 now, and I'm like, I'm not gonna always be playing the flute, and I've always been curious of the other side of the business, mm-hmm. like what goes on behind the scenes, and you know. How do you put a concert together? And it's really involved. It's pretty involved.
So you start like similar to a producer of a motion picture who really handles everything in terms of coordination. But as office manager, you're, a producer too, very concerned about the finances.
Yeah. So, you know, we have our treasurer and I have to do, I input the data for the treasurer and make sure that all of our charts are up to date, like advertisers, the subscribers, and
you're doing any public
donations.
Relations right now, right?
Yeah, yeah. Public
that's
relations.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
But that's always been with the job, I think.
You know? That's great.
So even as just
it's very
being
important,
part of the
along
orchestra.
With the, you know, sending your conductor out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Well, when we were offered a musician, and then we were offered Dennis Carter II, we're like, oh yeah, that's it. That's who we want to have come to Homecoming. So thank you for this time.
Yeah.
Thank you for all that you do to bring this beautiful music to
our
community.
Well, if it weren't
really.
For you guys to help, you know, help us promote and, you know, reach out to the more folks.
We're the local station. It keeps that classical music going at night.
I see
not
you guys every
Symphony,
time I walk in and I wave.
We are the one, you know, and people can listen online, whfr.fm.
Yeah.
Usually starts around midnight or so goes until about 9 every morning.
Okay.
So
till 10 actually now.
Till 10 now. It's a satellite-delivered service, but it's very high quality, and there is a live DJ person who
that's
is
right.
doing announcements and back announcing the artist and so on. And I don't think there's any other place in Detroit. I mean, I know that there is a daytime classical music station.
Yeah, WRCJ.
RCJ,
right.
Uh-huh.
But that's, you know, they do their thing in classical, and we do the evening thing. And our signals does go out there about 10, 15, 20 miles or so, and the people can listen at 89.3, of course. Thank you, Dennis, very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Great meeting
nice
you
to meet
for
you
the
too.
First time.
Yeah, likewise.
Thank you.
We do this because we know people want to hear that
from,
kind of music and a variety of styles of music, and we're so grateful that the Dearborn Symphony in your
sixty-fourth
amazing, and so knowing the variety that you're putting into this season, and not only making sure it runs properly as office manager, but also as principal flute player.
Yeah.
That's quite you got a lot on your shoulders, but you got big shoulders, so I think you can handle it, right?
Yes.
Thank you for your time.
Thank
Enjoy
you.
The festival.
Okay.
Enjoy the season.
Thank you, guys.
We look forward to talking to you
All
again.
Right. Bye-bye.
All right.